Fellow Freedom fans, back here on the Faith and Freedom Show on the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm talking to Dr. Carl Altenberger. He is one of your neighbors. You can love your neighbor as yourself. It's Dr. Carl Altenberger. Our number here is 888-850-1872. It's toll free. You can give us a call. If Dr. Altenberger pokes you in the brain over something, he's poking me in the brain as he's talking. You know, we're kind of listening. He's downloading a lot of really neat perspectives for us with regard to this healthcare idea and what his take on it. We're going to hear about the Florida Medical Association in general, what their take might be. So if you get poked in the brain, you can give us a call at 888-850-1872. Toll free, all eights. Sounds just like the area code for Tallahassee, 850, and then it's 1-USA, 888-850-1872. Hopefully you wrote that down on your styrofoam cup, because we're going to proceed. Dr. Altenberger, just before the break, you were talking about our healthcare costs in America are expensive because we've got a top-of-the-line program, top-of-the-line innovations that help save lives here at home in America and abroad. And, of course, those things cost money.
You bet.
Prosperous.
Well, yeah. And we also talked about the impact of government regulation. But, you know, the bottom line is when people go see the doctor, they don't say, treat me the way you would have in 1960.
Right.
And a 2009 treatment is more expensive than a 1960 treatment would be. And that's true. That was true of automobiles, too. A 2009 car is more expensive than a 1960 car. They didn't have anti-lock brakes and airbags and all those other good things.
You know what's amazing about that? I think dollar per dollar, I think it's still a great value. You know, if you think of the value of the dollar over time decreasing, we're actually not that expensive compared to the way things were back then.
Well, the most expensive technology there is, and you could say about the most expensive drug or the most expensive doctor,
sure,
is that's not there when you need it.
Yes.
Now, that's pretty darn expensive. We don't want to get there. So.
Exactly. So availability right now in America is fabulous.
Availability is, but it's fairly precarious because we have a shortage of physicians. And I graduated from medical school in 1974, and the wizards in Washington said at that time, of course, they've got, you know, crystal balls that go way out, and they said, we have too many doctors. So they stopped funding the building of new medical schools. They stopped funding graduate medical education programs. And as a consequence, now fast forward 35 years, we now are projected to have a shortage of 200,000 physicians, and that's going to be especially felt in primary care specialties. So I think that we have a tough challenge ahead of us. That pipeline is so long that even though it's now been recognized, once you start treating it, and they're starting to expand medical school classes and so on, you're not going to feel the impact of that for 15 or 20 years. So we have a window here where it's going to be really tough.
So,
we're talking about healthcare costs and what's driving them, and
right.
You know, a third issue is cost shifting. So Medicare rates have not gone up for physicians in 8 or 10 years, and all of physician fees are pegged to Medicare. And when providers, hospitals, or physicians are not being reimbursed enough to cover their costs, they have to charge patients who have other insurances more.
Now that's crazy. I'm going to get to that, but I want to step back just a bit. You mentioned something about the shortage of physicians.
Yes.
And folks don't really know about that. I know about it because I heard it from y'all, okay? You and the people at Florida Medical Association, that there really is a void of young trained doctors, and in fact that there's some rumors of those who are in their above 55, if this new healthcare plan comes into being, it's going to overwhelm them. They're just going to start checking out.
Well, a lot of them are, because they're, you know, look at what your doctor looks like, folks. You know, listen, I'm a patient too, and I get to go to the doctor, and they've all got gray hair like I have.
That's right.
And, you know, you do worry about it. And just looking at our medical societies, you wonder, where have the young physicians gone? And Florida is an especially precarious spot because we're not training enough physicians in Florida for our population. We don't have a lot of residency programs here. We're 44th in the country, behind Mississippi in terms of the number of graduate medical education spots per 100,000 population. That's important because physicians usually end up close to where they do their final training.
Hmm.
So because of that reason, because of the tort situation here, which is the fourth reason healthcare costs are high, and Florida is particularly bad, graduates who are finishing their training are deciding, I'm just not going to go to Florida. I can go to Texas and practice, or California, or elsewhere, make a good living, and not have to worry about a lot of these issues. And we have an elderly population here. We want to continue to attract retirees to our state. And the problem with being elderly, and again, I can vouch for this, is that we utilize increasing healthcare services,
mm-hmm.
increasingly healthcare services. So, we need more physicians. If we were a state that was fairly young, a younger state, then we wouldn't need as much. But you do as you get older. So, those are the four issues that are driving healthcare costs.
Okay, I'm going to review those real quickly. It's the cost of the service itself, the tort issue, cost shifting, which would be cost to the doctors if those costs are not covered somehow.
That's right.
And what was the fourth area?
Medicaid and Medicare don't reimburse the physicians sufficiently to pay their costs.
Okay, go ahead and talk about that. That's pretty significant. That's kind of some sneaky.
So they're going to make sure that they compensate for that by making sure that what they receive from Blue Cross or United, someone else's, is enough to offset that. And again, physicians do a lot of good work in their offices every day, and they take care of people who can't pay, and they don't like to advertise it or talk about it. No one does.
Right.
But you know what? If they don't pay their light bill, the electric company still comes by and turns them off.
That's right.
And so they've got to pay their staff, and they've got to make sure their overhead is taken care of. And if they can't receive that, Medicaid, for example, has a terrible problem because it only compensates physicians about 60% of Medicare or 65% of Medicare. And, that's why physicians don't take Medicaid. It's burdensome from a regulation point of view. They'd rather see the patients for nothing, or if they have to see them, they certainly see them in the emergency room. They have to take it. But,
right.
Those are huge issues that are driving costs. And the point we're trying to get across to our elected representatives, and something I hope you and your callers will communicate this month with their elected representative, call them, write them, this is important, is that let's solve the key problems. Let's try to solve the healthcare cost issue. And again, nothing in the current plan, and we're talking about H.R. 3200, the one we've seen, but there are a lot of other plans. We recognize this is not going to be the final product, we hope and pray. But nothing in there are really going to address the issue of healthcare costs. And the issue of how access to care and how do we take care of people who don't have insurance, that's something that I think we can address and we must address to try to help those people who can't get insurance. But the 47 million number that you've heard, others have heard, is a false number. It's being used to scare people into, well, we have to do something.
Wait, so 47 million that are uninsured? Is that the
uninsured? Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the breakdown on that. And these numbers are the best approximation I can give you. About 10 million of the 47 million are not United States citizens.
Hmm.
So that leaves 37 million people. Of 37 million, approximately 10 million, another 10 million, make more than $75,000 a year. Now, those are individuals who could, if there was an affordable product out there for them, they would like to have health insurance, but they can't really afford it. And many of them are young, and it's not a good deal for them. I mean,
Right. They'd rather just pay the bill.
That's right. It's more cost effective for them to do that. And because they can't easily get something to, say, just cover catastrophic conditions and so on,
mm-hmm.
They choose not to have insurance. So that leaves now 27 million people. And of those 27 million, another 10 million or so already qualify for various state plans like Medicaid. They just don't enroll because they're healthy and they're young, and yes, they qualify, but they don't need it. Now, they don't need it, but they also know if they got sick, they can get it instantly.
Right.
And but, get on it.
But statistically, they really are healthy or have a, you know, a special situation, could possibly even pay the bill, don't have to get Medicaid.
That's right.
And they may feel a civic duty to not take Medicaid if they don't need it.
We would hope. And so you're left with, and again, no one has these numbers down to the individual, but probably 15 or 17 million people who are really having a tough time. They have a significant health condition. They've lost their job. They are between jobs when it occurred. So they're not insurable. And for those individuals, we have to find a way to try to help them. Now, the issue, though, is, and this is very important to understand, is that these are people, when they do get health insurance, are going to utilize healthcare services to try to maintain a good quality and, we would hope, quantity of life. But that is not going to come cheaply. So one of the proposals that's out there, for example, is to mandate that all insurance companies must take anyone who applies, even if they have a pre-existing condition. Now, that sounds like a noble thing, but make no mistake about it, is going to increase the cost to those who have insurance now. And the analogy is, if you did not have to buy collision insurance on your car until you had an accident, would you? No. You'd say, well, I don't have to buy it. I'll have an accident if I have an accident. And the repair bill is $10,000. I'll just go get health insurance. I'll go get collision insurance, rather, health insurance for my car, and it'll cover it. It'll fix it for me.
That's right.
All right. And so, what would be the price of that insurance?
Outrageous.
Who would sell it?
That's right.
So we've got to figure out some way to enable those folks to get coverage.
Hey, I want to check something you say. Just doing the math, you know, there's over 300 million people in America that are here, and I guess some of them are here illegally. But let's just say there's over 300 million people, 330 million people are here legally and you know, qualify for some program like that. The numbers you gave about those who really need the insurance are one out of every 20 people.
Right.
Based on that math.
That's right.
So that's something to keep
in mind.
Again,
we can figure out, you know, if you just took those people and said, we're going to give you $500 or $600 a month to buy an individual policy and cover you, it would cost, I don't know, $100 billion a year. I think, depending on how many people you're talking about,
right?
Which is a tenth or a 15th of what they're talking about the cost.
Oh, sure.
Of some of the plans that I've heard. So, and again, my math may be a little fuzzy on that. So, you know, we'll have to go sit there and do the numbers, depending on what numbers we're talking about.
But it's a broad swipe, but I think it's covering it. I think it's actually a rational number.
You could figure out a way to cover these people. They need to be helped. They need to be taken care of. We're a society that cares about these individuals and a profession that cares about them, and we want them to have coverage. Right now, we are covering them in many indirect ways. They go to the emergency room. They're helped by their communities and so on, but I think we can figure out ways to cover them. The bottom line for me, for whatever federal plan comes, is that you will know it's a good plan when every federal employee and every elected official is required to accept it, to take it.
Uh-oh, I'm going to challenge on that one. That's a good theory. Hey, we got to take a break here, folks. You're listening to Dr. Carl Altenberger, and he's here talking for himself and the Florida Medical Association. Our number here is 888-850-1872, 888-850-1872. We're going to take a break to just bless those people who are blessing our station there with some advertising dollars, and we shall return. Again, our number here is 888-850-1872.